This time of the year is always an interesting time for me. I love December. I love spending time with family, getting to see friends more, hanging out more with people that you don't necessarily get the time to hang out with. And it really is a lovely time. I'm not a beach goer at all, right? I look at the water and I appreciate it for what it is. I don't like getting in it at all. But something that I think we've probably seen progress more and more and more through the years is that there is an incredibly tangible sense of materialism in the world. We, Talia and I, were walking by the Pick and Pay hypermarket center where the Food Lovers is and everything. And one of the things we noticed, like, people look bleak. Like, not just, you know, the resting face kind of walking around, but people look super unhappy. And you sort of think, my goodness, like, it's a different kind of time for that. Surely that shouldn't be, in a sense, the default position. People are irritable. People are walking into the road. It's like, you wouldn't walk into the road other times of the year, would you? Like, why is this now the temperament, you know? And people are angry. And I saw two guys having a massive argument by Tal Africa and everything. And, right, by Tal Africa of all the places. What are you fighting over? Tiles? Like, I'm sure there's enough of them. I don't like that gray. You offend me, sir. I have that gray in my house. How dare you? But what I've realized, even in looking, I quite like listening to certain podcasts and things like that. And what I've realized more and more and more and more is that gratefulness is just, or thankfulness, they're interchangeable, are just not ideals or values that are upheld at all in the world. When last have you heard somebody say, you know, man, I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful for whatever you can list in that. Podcasts where people talk about the political space or they share their thoughts on certain parts of philosophy, whatever. How often do we hear the words grateful, thankful? When last have you heard somebody say they are content? It's interesting, if you look at the one of the Oxford definitions of being content, it's a state of peaceful happiness. All right, I think for us as Christians, it's far deeper than that. But what I just see a lot of is just an incredible, deep ungratefulness. We see envy is rife. How often are people fighting over, you have something I don't have, and somebody is to blame for the fact that I do not have that thing? Or why do you have that thing and I do not have that thing? And actually, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Do not covet, do not envy what your neighbor has. How often do we see people actually celebrating each other's successes? And like, well, I didn't get a promotion or a bonus, but I'm really stoked that you did. I'm really happy for you. That's going to be awesome for you and your family or whatever it might be. And it just seems like it's getting more and more and more entrenched. And the problem is that we can feed off of that because we're in the world. We're in the workplace. We share thoughts about certain things. And we can often feed off of that. And although we might ourselves not necessarily take the same posture of that blatant ungratefulness, I do think we can be lulled, actually, in not having a thankful posture. A really close friend of mine, he isn't saved, but I've shared the gospel with him multiple times. We worked together for many years, and I love him deeply, and I really believe that the Lord has placed me in his life, hopefully, one day to lead him to the Lord or be a part of that journey. But we chat regularly. Oh, my goodness. The state of his life is actually incredible. He gets job offers on the fly. People phone him offering him a job. I'm like, Who gets phoned for a job offer these days? You know, he has a private work alongside a secure government job. He drives a nice car. He's got a house, and actually, in a general sense, there's nothing wrong. And a lot of those things, you go, but those are. Do you know how many people crave the things that you have? And recently, he phoned me and he said, "Bru, I just got approved for a 200,000 rand bursary." Which is great, right? To go study his master's. What an epic opportunity. And he went, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, Can't you just for a second go, wow, this is great? How many of us go, well, I don't know how many of us, but I mean, there are so many people that go, yo, just to have my study sponsored. You know, how many people are in debt because of their studies? And here he gets this news with no strings attached. He doesn't have to work the money back, nothing. And I just realized, like, the superficial thing, isn't it? We can see in the world, actually, the world gives us a very good indication that those superficial things are actually not the, in themselves, it doesn't seem like they can work a true, sincere sense of thankfulness in a person's heart. And the funny thing is, if I've been reading through Genesis, Exodus, and one of the things that it seems like is that whenever there was ungratefulness brewing amongst the Israelites, it preceded idolatry and rebellion. It's if you look at the scenario building up to the golden calf, every time, it's not like just random, boop, out pops the golden calf, somebody had a really good idea, we need to get a golden calf, or whatever it might be. Every single time it starts with a grumbling. Moses, it was much better in Egypt. At least we had water and food, and here we're going to die like animals. Forgetting that when they were there, they cried out to God saying, Lord, save us from this oppressive nation. And then God delivered them through the Red Sea. And I don't think it was years later. I don't know if it was weeks later even that they were at Mount Sinai with Moses when he got the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And we see that ungratefulness is not just a superficial thing. We think of even Korah's rebellion. All of it, it starts off with this dialogue of ungratefulness. And then it manifests itself in either idolatry or rebellion. But that's not our portion. That's not the kind of people that we are called to be. And please, I cannot stand here and point fingers at the Israelites. I've never had to be in the desert. I've never lived through any of the things they lived through. And so I do not stand as a guy going, yeah, they should have known better. Not at all. Not at all. But we do see this pattern presented for us in the Word. But we are called to be different. We are called to live out our lives very, very differently. And we see actually a beautiful account in Luke 17 from verse 11. You can turn there. Luke 17 from verse 11. And so just going to take a bit of creative license here, but you can imagine building up to this account here. So it's the story of the 10 lepers. I think most of us will be familiar with the story of the 10 lepers. But you can imagine that they've probably heard of some of the things Jesus had been doing. And if you think social distancing was bad, lepers, I don't know if they had to wear a sign around their neck, but I know they had to cover themselves, of course, from the sun and everything, but they had to have a bell. And as they walked through populated areas, they had to ring that bell shouting, unclean. Imagine that. Imagine how bad that must have been. These are the days where, man, human rights didn't exist. These people had no place in society because they were infectious, of course. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine the state that your life must be in if you had leprosy? So imagine now these 10 guys living in that isolation. They were together and they hear that this guy who's been doing incredible miracles is coming through our town. And so they wait. So we see from verse 11, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. And we see even in this act of thankfulness, as can you imagine? I mean, leprosy was you are falling apart, like your body is rotting away, and you're alive for the process. And here you see this man that people have been probably speaking about, and you call on him, and he cleanses you. And as you run, you see this leprosy disappear. And the other nine go. I mean, they stoked. They're so happy to be saved. But he stops, and he looks back at the one who healed him. And he goes back, and he says, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. And Jesus says to me, your faith has healed you. And thankfulness is an expression of faith in us, because we know where this good thing has come from. Megan, Megan Thatcher, where are you? Can you put up? I saw you here. Megan, oh, she's probably upstairs potentially. But I mean, she shared just that diagnosis of lupus and how the Lord healed her of that. And she stood in front of us and giving praise to God. And I'm sure, like even as she goes out in the sun now, going, thank God, thank God, thank God for what you have done. But you see, we're not just called to be thankful for the things that go well. I wouldn't necessarily always say that's easy. It's easier, right, to be thankful for good things than hard things. But actually, we call to go beyond that. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And a short verse, but incredibly, incredibly dense. As Paul writes, and he says, be thankful in all circumstances, not some, all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And it's incredible, as you just even look at the structure and the wording, at the start, be thankful is an active process. It's not a passive thing of a feeling in a sense, but it's be thankful, do it, be active in thankfulness. And then the scary part, and it scares me to death, in all circumstances, all of them, from right, well, my right, your left, but from right to left, it's all circumstances. Every single one of the circumstances you face yourself in, be thankful to the Lord in all of them. For this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. And it's incredible if you look at some of the Greek wording for some of those words, even the be thankful is this thing of seeing, being not just being mindful of, but noticing God's grace. So this be thankful is not just circumstantial, because it says be thankful in all circumstances, but it says look up and see the faithful ones, see God. And in light of that, be thankful. Now, of course, we are thankful for material things. I'm thankful for my job. Goodness me. I'm really thankful for my job. I'm thankful that I have a car that gets me from A to B. I'm thankful that as I stand before you today, I'm healthy. I have no qualms. But the reality is that those things change. And for some of us, they change quickly. I can think of some people, I don't know if they're here tonight, but some people in this congregation have gotten bad news in this year. Health-wise, financial. But if we look at that, we see be thankful in all circumstances. And the second part, JP, could you put it up again? The second part, for this is God's will, is a second scary component of that, but also incredibly encouraging. Because if it's His will, He can make it happen in our hearts. He can help us. Because it's His will for us to be like that, to be thankful in all circumstances. And the incredible thing is, out of many people, Paul really understood what it meant to be thankful in all circumstances. I don't know by this time, I didn't actually check just the time frame, but I'm sure by this time he'd been jailed at least once, flogged, beaten, spat upon, insulted, all of those things, in jail. And it's an ancient Roman era jail, right? Not today's jail. I don't know if feeding you was such a big priority in those jails even. This wasn't a cozy place. And yet even in that place, we get other scriptures that rejoice. Again, I say rejoice always. And it's the same man who writes, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Thankfulness over material things is needed. We need to reflect on the things we have and say thank God, because all good things come from above. But again, the problem with material things are, besides the fact that they change, and we don't maybe have them today, maybe not have them tomorrow, that oftentimes that those kind of things can lead to comparison as well. We have a broad spectrum of income levels, of car levels, whatever you want to call that. We have a broad spectrum of those things. We have people now that are going to enjoy incredible time with family. Some are most likely not going to have any family around them. So if we build, if we try to stir up this thankfulness in us, purely based on material things, maybe initially we'll get somewhere, but at some point it will run dry. Because alongside all the material things and the things that are going well, there are things that are not necessarily that great. And I'm sure that if we had to sit and listen to all the things that aren't great in our lives, in a sense, we could all have something we might come forward with that we could say. But the question then is, how do we then get to that place? How do we get to a place of actually being thankful for material things, but for the things that transcend the material? Because it's those things that we know will last. Material things will decay, will fall away, but the eternal and spiritual things are the things that will last. And just in chatting to some people beforehand, it's gratefulness, thankfulness is actually an incredibly, I want to say a powerful thing when it's rightly at work in our hearts. Even in my own life, I grew up with my dad, and it was rough, man. He was an ex-military guy. He had his things, and it was rough. It was just me and him. My mom was living in PE. And I remember, I don't want to sound like I'm dishonoring, and so I will maybe word this differently, but I wasn't fond of my dad, to say the least. And I was quite happy when I left school. I was quite happy to go, I'm happy to not see you again. Like, thank you for what you've done. You've paid for me to go to school, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm quite happy not seeing you ever again. I'll mourn the loss of not having my father in my life, but I'm quite happy. I'm happy to bear that burden on my heart. But then if you read the word honor your mother and your father, I'm like, oh, okay, I can't leave this. I can't leave that there. I just can't. But I'm like, Lord, how do I even start this process? And what's interesting, what the Lord started doing, he started showing me things my dad got right. And so all of a sudden, as I'm reflecting on these things, as I'm wrestling with the Lord, all of a sudden I go, yeah, but you know, he was present at every rugby game. Man, he fed me well. I haven't eaten like that since. You wouldn't say it. You wouldn't say it. But I ate well, man. And actually, if I remember, his posture towards me was, you eat your full. You eat as much as you want, and I will eat, you know, what's left, in a sense. And the thing is that we can hear that, and some of us might go, but that's naive. There's still all the wrong that happened in the midst of this growing up. And that's true. But thankfulness isn't naive. It's transcendent of the bad. So as I look at my dad more and more, I'm like, you know that I must give him credit where credit's due. He's a single man. in a sense, my mom and my dad split apart, but he wanted to raise me. He wanted to. How often do you hear of stories where the father, the man is completely absent in the life of the child? But my dad fought tooth and nail that I stayed with him. And I think of that, and I think, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm scarred by this whole experience, but I'm less scarred in a sense that I know my parents wanted me. You know? And as I'm thinking of these things, I'm going, yes, Lord, I'd like to see him this week. And I'd like to see how he's doing. And for the first time in my life, as much as my dad is not a man for compliments at all, if he says nothing, it's shop. Go, we've had coffee. How's work? It's good. Okay, it's good. That was great. That was a wonderful time. But now I'm like, now I feel the Lord prompting my heart to encourage him. I say, Dad, thank you for what you did. Thank you. And I'm not naive. I'm not neglecting anything. But this process of healing started with a posture of thankfulness by the grace of the Lord. Let me tell you, you could have given me a lot of time to think about this. I could have never thought that this is how this would come about. And now I foresee a future where my dad is a part of that future, and I really want to try and make him a part of that thing. He hasn't changed, right? The circumstance is still there, in a sense. He hasn't apologized. He hasn't done any of those things. But that thankfulness in my heart, it pushes the bad out of the way. And I'm like, Lord, I want to see him in a different light so that I can honor him, because I know that at the very least, whether he never, ever, ever reflects on this, if he never reflects on the fact that of what he's done, that I know that before you, I have honored you by trying to honoring my dad. And so we must dispel this idea that a posture of thankfulness is naive, because it isn't. Maybe worldly thankfulness, sure. I'm not looking at the house on fire, but man, I've got a nice car. You know, no, that's not it. That's not it. It transcends. It transcends the material. Yes, Lord, the house is on fire. The car is broken. But you are good. You have been faithful to me because you wanted to. It's completely your will. Lord, you have touched in me depths that I could never touch. You've healed insecurities in me that I didn't even know were there. I just saw the consequence. I just had no idea what I was doing, why I was getting angry at things, or why I felt awkwardness, whatever it might be. The work that God has done in us and what he has secured for us in heaven is worth being thankful for daily, daily. Daily, daily, daily. Lord, thank you. Thank you that these treasures that you talk about are stored up in a place where they cannot be touched. Yes, today I have success. Yes, today I draw a 5 to 6 figure salary. And I know that tomorrow that can change. I'm not saying I draw a 6 figure salary, just by the way. Don't wait for me outside. You will be disappointed. Yes, those things, they, I know that they're here today, and I'm thankful for it. Thank you, Lord. But I know that they might not be here tomorrow. Lord, I am thankful for the things that will last. And that if I remain faithful to you, the work that you've done in my heart will remain. And for some reason, again, I will reap the fruits of this in heaven. God will reward me for the good things I've done. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are gracious and patient with me. It's honestly, it's one of the things that makes me more patient. It's just going, I think the Lord had to be so patient with me and still has to be. Even as I can sit and sulk about certain things and, we couldn't leave work early on Friday. That sucks. But Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have a job. But Lord, more than that, thank you that you've given me the energy. Thank you that you've given me the strength to see this year through where others are absolutely at their end. And I'm talking about people in the world. My colleagues, I'm like, hey, yeah, you people need to go sleep, have a nap or something. But we see that. And once we start going, Lord, please work in me a heart of thankfulness, I'm sure we'll see so many things in our life follow suit. I would have never been able to tell you that thankfulness can precede forgiveness. I didn't know, but now I do. And maybe for the person that is processing something similar, that for me to tell you tonight, think of all the good things they've done. It's just, it feels like it's impossible because the reality is hurt so much at the moment. In that place is, Lord, help me. Help me to be thankful. Show me your ways. I find just the verses in Colossians 2, verse 6-7. They're so powerful, even in the midst of looking at the material, the spiritual, the eternal, transcending the material. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And then drawing us back to the 10 lepers, your faith has healed you. That an act of thankfulness springs forth from faith in our hearts as we see God more and more and more for who he is. Thankfulness is not a place of naiveness and aloofness. It is a place of revelation. A place of revelation. And tonight, as much as there can be a response for individual people, in my heart, I feel like there's a global, all of us kind of response where we can come forward or wherever you feel like standing and just reflect on who God is and start to thank him for it. Thank him for who he is. For what he has done, that he has saved you. You know, that's something that outworks itself every single day is the salvation of God. Every single day, the salvation of the Lord is at work in us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that the light is inside of me, not because of anything I've done, but because of what you've done. Even our faithfulness is the work of God in us by the Holy Spirit. So, Rob, can you come up, Rue? Just to lead us in a song. I asked a few people just before the time just to even think of some things that they can really thank the Lord for. And funny enough, I wanted to say to them, please, nothing material. Right, and again, I want to stress, the material things, we thank God for them. We thank God because it comes from him. But I left it. I said, let me not overcomplicate the question by adding to it. And all of them mentioned something they're thankful for that actually transcends the material. So Dylan, can you come up, Brew? And Katrine, if you'd like to share as well. And I think as we listen to these two things, for some of us, they might feel a bit of a disconnect. Like, sure, that sounds lofty, or it sounds like very far from me. But the fact is, for both of them, there's even this posture, this place of thankfulness that they've come from. It's actually come from the work of the Lord in him. And he can do the same work in you. Right. Go for it, boy. I think you're
there. Yeah, so last week, Saturday, I was house-sitting for Dave. And I just really needed to spend some time with the Lord. And I just, asked him what he wants me to do. Like, does he want me to read the word? Does he want me to worship? Just sit in silence. And I just felt like he was pressing it on my heart to, in a sense, go through an exercise of obedience. And I just sat on the couch. I asked him, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And then I just waited. And sometimes I got an answer within 3 seconds. Sometimes it took a couple minutes. But just every time, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was him. And then I did it, and then I came back, and the same thing. And just, yeah, I'm just so thankful that we actually get to hear from God. Like the creator of everything, he speaks to us. And it's in ourselves, we aren't worthy of even being in his presence. We would literally drop dead. I'm thinking about the priests who would go into the temple once a year, and they would put bells on them and tie a rope around their leg. And when the bells stopped, they know they didn't sacrifice something right, or their heart wasn't pure, and then they would just pull the body out. But we get to commune with God 24/7 because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of his blood. We were made holy and righteous to even accept that gift of Holy Spirit. And just, yeah, just be in constant communion with him.
Yeah, so just even in the light of everything that Jochen has been sharing, just the heart of God, where he says, he looks at us and he says, a vineyard, beloved and lovely. But then verse 3 says, I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment, lest anyone harm it. I guard and keep it night and day. And just this incredible thankfulness that we can have for the character of God, the person that he is, that he is looking after us, that he takes this and he reminds us and he helps us and he teaches us and he makes us these thankful people. And how can we not say thank you to him?